Joining us now is Dave Richwine, and he is the Deputy Director for Technology for the X-59 program and several other things within NASA as well. But we're going to talk X-59 at least to start with.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Welcome back to Oshkosh.
Thank you.
How many years have you been coming here?
I've come a couple times, but I've been here last year and then this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's been fun. Last year was a little warmer than this year, so it's really nice out here today.
Just wait for the weekend.
Okay.
It's supposed to get warmer. Tell us now, the X-59 program, if I boil it down to layman's terms, you're trying to make sonic booms not go boom, right?
That's correct.
You want something that's more of a sonic thump.
Exactly. You've read the literature, the thump.
I have, yes. I have. And, but you rolled out the airplane for public debut in January, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how that was received.
Oh, well, it was a real exciting event. I was unable to make it for personal reasons, and so that was disappointing, but... Yeah, they had a great time as it rolled out the airplane, and everybody got to kind of see it in its glory and painted. And, you know, it's kind of a nice-looking airplane now that's done, but now there's really all hard work where we've got a lot of the systems integration to still do and some of the software testing. It's been difficult and challenging, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the history of the program. How long has it been in research before you actually started building?
So we started doing research on what a concept might look like in 2014. So it's really been a 10-year process on what a demonstrator might look like and what we need to demonstrate that technology, the size and the shape of the airplane, and also how to make it cost-effective, which hardware we might use from a lot of airplanes. So it really is made up of probably about 10 different fighters, the different parts that came on the airplane. So we did all those concept studies and then slowly refined it, and it's really been being built the last 4 years. And then this last year has been more integration and test.
Okay. What's the power plant?
Power plant is a 414 engine, which goes on the Super Hornet or the Gripen. Mm-hmm. And it's slightly modified for our purposes. We'll use it in afterburner a little more than those aircraft would, but it's basically an F-18 Hornet engine.
Okay. And the build itself of the aircraft, how long has that been taking?
How long is it? It's been worked on for about 4 years.
Okay.
The airplane is built. We're actually going to do an engine run in a couple of weeks here, so we're getting into that integrated test phase. But the airplane, you know, it's roughly 100 feet long. Looks like kind of an S-16 on steroids. It's a great-looking airplane. Beautiful.
What will go into the actual engine testing? What's your test profile for that?
Well, engines have what's called a FADEC, which is kind of the brains of the engine, and you want to make sure that the FADEC works with all the flight controls and all the safety and all the failure modes and effects testing, and the engines are working right with all the systems, electrical systems, hydraulics. So it's just a really complicated integration test that you want to do on an airplane.
All right. So tell us the basics of how you've been able to come up with this, hopefully, sonic thump.
The sonic thump. Well, first of all, you want an airplane of a certain size. Mm-hmm. And volume and length to kind of make that sonic thump sound like a commercial product, which could be much larger, but there's the traceability to that larger airplane. And so you want to build an airplane that's of that size and scale. The way we do that is very careful shaping. Obviously, if you've ever seen the pictures, it's got quite a long nose. And so you want to manage the volume distribution on the airplane and also the lift distribution from all the different control surfaces, which is the tricky part. So as you go down the airplane, you run out of volume, but you still have all the lifting surfaces on the back end that you want to manage that sonic boom. So you get that pressure differential coming off the airplane such that you get a sonic thump instead of a sonic boom.
And that's something I think many in the general public don't understand, is that the noise is not necessarily coming from the engine. It's from the airframe itself.
Yeah. So what you just heard here with the airplane going over, you hear the propellers, but the jet engines, you hear the jet engine or engine noise, which would be, we call airport noise around the facility. Ours is a sonic boom or sonic thump in our particular case, where we're flying at very high altitude. And we want to have that thump that you hear like every person. It carries a carpet, but every person kind of is a point that they hear it, and you're going to hear like a heartbeat go by.
Amazing. When this, assuming all the technology goes and works and you're able to, you know, perform lots of test flights, how will that transition then into the commercial area?
So really, this is a data collection device as far as NASA is concerned. We want to demonstrate the technology, understand the physics, and then go fly over communities and get the data sets that we need over representative communities. So we might go to fly over your house and then do surveys and ask you, how do you feel? Did you hear it or did you not hear it? And understand your response to that. So we get that data set, and then we give it to the regulatory agencies. Then we're hoping that they would impact regulatory change so that in the future, people can build commercial airplanes that fly to some standard, some noise standard, sonic boom noise standard, and fly over communities, that the commercial people can build airplanes to that standard.
We're looking into the future, but how far before I'm sitting in a supersonic aircraft going cross country?
Yeah, so the regulatory process is
long.
It's long. They meet every 3 years, and so it really takes two cycles to get that change, and then you would have somebody build an airplane. So really, realistically, it's probably 10 or 15 years before you have commercial aircraft that could fly supersonic over land. Now, you've obviously got other companies that are doing business jet models that are slightly different, that they may have those sooner.
With the X-59 program, that's one of the things that you do. But what else are you involved in with NASA?
Well, so NASA has a lot of great things. Go over the pavilion, look. There's a lot of about sustainability on the X-66, airspace management, aviation safety type work. And there's also some Artemis work that's shown over there, which is the space work and some science work. So there's a little bit of everything over at the pavilion. And then we've also got a lot of talks coming up on, you know, STEM talks, and the pilots, I think, are talking at Forum 4 at 11:30. And then we've also got some the women of Quest, you know, kind of women of aviation type support. So we've got a lot of different things coming up that NASA's involved in.
You mentioned STEM programming. What sort of things do you have to encourage the next generation?
They've got a lot of little things over in our area. They're just little things that kids can make to kind of show them some of the simple concepts in aerodynamics and fun stuff like that.
Good. And overall with NASA, not just at this show, but how do you support STEM education?
Well, I go to a lot of different air shows to kind of, you know, get people excited. I just was at the Miami Air Show a couple of weeks ago, and I do Langley Air Shows, and it's a lot of fun to go. You know, it's kind of invigorating for us engineers that kind of take it for granted, but when you come to these air shows, you learn that it really is exciting stuff, and people get pretty excited about it. It kind of makes you appreciate your job a little more.
When you're here, what do you get away from the booth at all? You go look at some of the airplanes?
Well, yeah, I do. They let me out once in a while, yes. So I'll work over at the pavilion about three quarters of the time, but then I like to walk around and see the different stuff. I like the, you know, warbirds, and everybody likes the fireworks on Wednesdays and during the weekends. Yeah. And so, yeah, you can just look around. I mean, is there any kind of airplane you could ever imagine? Some of them are put together with duct tape, but they're great airplanes, right?
Almost.
Almost.
That was the point I was getting to. Was there a particular airplane or type of airplane that you were looking forward to seeing?
Oh, X-59, I'd like to see.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just like all kinds of airplanes. Obviously, I'm not going to commit to any one here because everybody's got their own.
Very true, very true. Hey, aside from the X-59 and the Artemis, in NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, a lot of people just remember the space part, but what are some of the other aeronautical programs that NASA takes care of?
Yeah, so I mentioned the air mobility type work, and then the sustainability type, what is called subsonic aircraft. But, you know, NASA does a lot of stuff in engine, power plant, electrified power trains, hypersonics, a lot of subsonics work, rotary airplanes, you know, high lift type stuff. So really take the whole airspeed gamut, and we really work it all. So a lot of fun stuff going on across aeronautics in general.
Very good. And when you get back from Oshkosh, there will be a lot of things on your desk, but what are some of the projects that you might be working on aside from X-59?
Well, I strictly work on X-59, okay. And then I work on the mission office. So my desk is actually in my back at the hotel when I get back. And so I would probably work on something that has to do with the mission office. So I control also work with the mission office on how we're going to use the airplane to do the testing. So it's a little bit broader type of job as well.
Okay. Well, Dave, thank you very much for joining us today. Any final thoughts before we sign off this segment?
No, just enjoy the weather. This is awesome. So enjoy it. I know everybody's out here excited.
Well, good.
Enjoy the jet noise and the propeller noise, right?
That is true. And we've got a lot of that going on today so far.
All right. Well, thank you.
Dave Richwine from NASA is our guest right now. And you are listening to EIA Radio.